You are listening to Pastor Matt Erickson's message, Sustaining the Good Life, part of the Good Life series at Eastbrook Church. We welcome you to join us for our weekend worship services on Saturdays at 5 p.m. and Sundays at 8, 9:30, and 11 a.m. For more information and additional resources, please visit eastbrook.org.
We're going to be getting into Psalm 23. We started that last week. We're going to finish it up this week. And the way that I want to start is just by reading the psalm. If you don't mind, if you have your Bible, turn to Psalm 23. I'm reading out of the English Standard Version or the ESV this week because I feel like it fits the flow of thought and language in the psalm just a little bit better. That'll be up on the screen as we go through. This is what it says, Psalm 23, beginning in verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. You know, sometimes when we think about God's word or when people talk to us about Christianity, there is the sense that there is a disconnect between the God of the universe or what we hear about him and the real life or the real world we live in. I don't know about you, when I read the news, even in the last week or 2 weeks, in all the headlines about 1,000 people who've been killed in the fighting back and forth between Israel and Gaza, when I read about the last vestiges of Christian presence being pushed out of the Iraqi city of Mosul, a city that's had a Christian presence since the 3rd or 4th century, that the last believers have been pushed out because of a radical group. When I read those kind of headlines, when I see what's happening, a flight going down over Algeria, and I think about all these things, I think, in the world that we live in, how do I fit that together with some of the things happening in the Psalms? And then sometimes I read or I talk with people, and as a pastor, I get an insight into a lot of the deep places of people's lives. I talk with someone this week dealing with a deep addiction in their life that they can't seem to break free from. And as I talked with them, I was trying to bring together God's word, and I could just feel them wrestling in the midst of the darkness of their life of how does this connect? Talked with someone this week who lost a loved one in their life. I talked with a friend who's a good friend since college who's longing to be married and hasn't really found that person in his life and is struggling with that. And does God have good things for him? I talked with someone this week who had a massive employment change in their life and they're worried about the future and they're worried about provision and how are they going to make it through. Sometimes when we look at our lives and we look at the world around us, we can wonder, how does these first verses of Psalm 23 connect with the real world in my life? The Lord's my shepherd, I shall not want, but I want, you know? Not just like simple things like the new possession, but I want companionship. I want to see God's goodness in hard times. I want to make it through this. I want to get into green pastures. I want to walk beside still waters, but it doesn't feel like where I'm at. Sometimes we might say those things. But I think the reason that Psalm 23 connects with people so deeply, even people who sometimes aren't followers of God or believers in Jesus, is because it really gets into, well, dark valleys. It goes into the places that we really live. It talks about a lot of the things, I think, especially in the second half of the psalm that we're going to look at today, that we deal with day in and day out. And so let me start off this morning by saying a few things that Psalm 23 is not saying when you talk about not wanting or by green pastures, by still waters. What's Psalm 23 not saying this morning? Psalm 23 is not saying that if you get connected to God, everything is going to be easy in your life and you'll have a smile on your face every moment of every day. Psalm 23 isn't saying that you won't have anybody who comes against you or is an enemy of some sort in your life. Psalm 23 isn't saying that if you serve God, then you'll never go through challenging or hard or dark times. Actually, what Psalm 23 is saying is those things happen, but they're transformed when you understand who God is in what he's doing here. In fact, Psalm 23 acknowledges the fact that we will walk through dark valleys. Anybody walk through a dark valley this week? Wow. Anybody walk through a dark valley the last month, the last year, right? The last decade? I mean, in our lives, we walk through dark valleys. Psalm 23, verse 4 begins right in that place after talking about not wanting and the green pastures and the still waters and the restoration of our souls leads us into a place here in verse 4 that I think we know we need to get to because it is real life where we live every day. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. John Calvin says this about this verse here. He says that true believers, although they dwell safely under the protection of God, are still exposed to many dangers, or rather, they're liable to all the afflictions that befall mankind in common, so that they may better feel how much they need the protection of God. Everybody faces dark valleys in the midst of life, but in the middle of that, something happens in Psalm 23 that we need to get a hold of, and this is what it is. I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Oh, man. Last week, I had a hard time getting past the first phrase of verse 1. I'm going to have a hard time getting past this phrase this morning. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. The infinite God, the creator of all that exists, almighty in his abilities, is with us in the middle of the dark valleys. Now, I just need you to stop and think about this, because I know you've heard this before, probably. You've probably heard or read Psalm 23 before, and you've probably thought about even this phrase. But I just want us to dwell here for a little bit, if you don't mind, in the reality that the God of the universe steps into the places that no one really wants to go into and is there with us. None of us really want to go through the dark valleys of life, but God, according to Psalm 23, 4, steps into the midst of those places we really don't want to be in, and he exists there. He is with us there, right in the middle of those places. We go through them, and they're there. Come back with me into another part of the Bible, if you would, for just a moment. Go back to a story that maybe you heard as a kid if you grew up in church, or maybe you've heard sometime before, Daniel in the lion's den, right? I know if you saw it like in a kid's book or a kid's cartoon, you think, you know, Daniel might just curl up with those lions and just pet them till they fall asleep when he got into that lion's den. But this is what's really going on in Daniel, in the lion's den. Daniel is a man who's trying to seek God and has a position of power and authority in the government of a foreign country, but he is a believer in the God of Israel. And he has favor with the king, so much so that other leaders around him are jealous of his authority and favor, and so they set up a legal system that is bound to get Daniel in trouble. They organize together against him. They're a group of enemies gathering against him. They set up a legal system, a law, that which says that if anybody calls out to anyone other than the king or the gods the king represents, then they should be imprisoned or thrown into a lion's den right away. But Daniel, being the person of character that he is and knowing who God is, he keeps doing what he's always done, which is bowing down 3 times a day to pray to Yahweh God, the God of Israel. Someone overhears it because there's a spy listening outside his door. He is immediately arrested, and he is thrown into the lion's den. The valley of the shadow of death looms up around Daniel. This isn't soft, fuzzy lions. He should die very quickly at the hands of these lions, or the paws, I guess, or the teeth, or whatever they would use, I guess, at the moment. Daniel's going into this place, but something happens as Daniel enters the valley of the shadow of death. God of the universe, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, shows up in the midst of the lion's den and shuts the mouths, closes the mouths of the lions and stills them so that by the next morning, Daniel comes out alive and kicking, still to work God's purposes out in his life. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. God was with Daniel in the lion's den. Let's go to Daniel 3. It's another story in this prophetic book of Daniel, where 3 of Daniel's friends, you may have heard of them, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, great boys' names if you're looking to have a child soon. These guys are before a great gathering, and they're instructed that when a trumpet sounds, they're to bow down with everybody else to an idol. But they also are followers of God, and when this trumpet sounds, they don't bow down. Now, this is not just like some moral tale to inspire you to be courageous, because this is actually sort of idiotic in one sense. They're going to die. Because the king had said that if they don't bow down, he's going to heat up a fiery furnace and throw these guys in there. So they're arrested. They're taken to the fiery furnace. The guards who throw them in, the heat is so deep that it actually kills the guards as they throw Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego into this roaring furnace. But then when people look into the furnace, something really weird is happening. They see four people in the furnace, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And as it says in the scriptures, the angel of the Lord, or the very presence of God, standing right there in the midst of the furnace. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. God is in the midst of our valleys. Let's go back to David for a second. David, anointed by Samuel the prophet to be the next king of Israel, but still for many years is chased down under threat of his life by King Saul. He runs into the ravines and the valleys and into the wilderness places to save his life as he gathers people around him who are upset with Saul's leadership. But many times, time and time again, his life is at risk, and so David begins to write psalms like Psalm 23 as he runs for his life. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, though I'm in a dark valley and the threats of my life gather around, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. David knew that God wasn't done with him, even though for years he ran from King Saul. Let's go back to one of David's ancestors before his time, a woman named Ruth, who was a Moabite widow, cast off and returns with her mother-in-law, Naomi, into the land of Naomi's homeland. She had nothing. She had no hope for a future, just the loyalty to her mother-in-law. And in the middle of that place where it seemed like death was going to scrounge around them as she and Naomi were on the verge of starving to death, God shows up with favor through a man. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. The infinite God, almighty and saving, is in the midst of our dark valleys. What dark valley are you in today? Because I know some of us are in them. A dark valley of addictions. A dark valley of relationship ruptures. A dark valley of employment issues that you don't know how are going to get resolved. A dark valley of challenges within your family that are confusing. A dark valley with children or parents that you don't know how to navigate. Dark valley of feeling your body wear out, perhaps because of age or because of other physical difficulties. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, get our minds locked on this powerful truth. I will fear no evil, for you are with me. The God of the universe is with us in the midst of all that we go through in this life. This is what one Bible scholar says about these words. It's God's companionship that transforms every situation. It doesn't mean that there are no deathly valleys or no enemies, but they're not capable of hurt. And so the powerful loyalty and solidarity of God comfort precisely in situations like that. You see, we're going to go through dark valleys, but the reality is this: the darkness is changed by the presence of God with us as we walk into those places. God is with us. Now, some of you might say, but I'm still in the valley. What's going on with this? What's God doing in this? I'm facing things I don't think I can deal with anymore. Let me talk about football for a minute. It's a good thing to do is to change the subject when it gets really serious. That's what Kelly tells me not to do all the time. But you know, if football's coming, you know that. It doesn't feel like it, but all over the sportscasters are talking about spring training and people signing multi-million dollar contracts and all those things. And you know when fall comes in American football, you expect people to deliver, right? But here's the thing: if the teams and the coaches don't work hard here in spring training and through the summer and into everything else, you know what's going to happen if they don't do anything, right? When it gets to the fall, I mean, they're going to lose, right? There's this old statement, you've probably heard it before, no pain, no gain, right? That's actually true, I think, in the spiritual life too. There are things that God is doing in our lives as we walk through the midst of the valleys. that could not be shaped in us any other way. It doesn't mean that they're easy. It doesn't mean that we really want to be there. But in a sense, though it may seem to trivialize your experience, like a football player who's in the midst of exercise and working through things to get to the place that they hope will lead them to ultimate victory, so too God is putting us through his sort of preparations, his work in our life, so that as it says in one of Paul's writings, he's working out in us an eternal weight of glory. He who began a good work in you is faithful to bring it to completion, but let's be honest, no pain, no gain in the midst of even the spiritual life. A good shepherd knows that in order to get his sheep to the green pastures and to walk beside still waters, sometimes he has to take them through the dark valleys and the places that look like the shadow of death. Once I was driving with Pastor Yusuf Hashway from the Second Circle Church in Amman, Jordan, and Adam Scheidler, our international outreach pastors. We were going from Jordan into Israel. We were going through this area that is the place where Moses stood when he looked over the Jordan towards the Promised Land before he, according to Scripture, was brought up to the Lord. And as you go through that place, you think, man, Moses must have had to look really hard, and I hope he had really good binoculars, because everything you can see with your naked eye just looks barren. I mean, it is rocky. We're taking this truck through this down into the valley, getting close to the River Jordan to go across, and as we're going through this rocky, barren landscape, what should we see but a flock of sheep with a little young shepherd? I'm telling you, it may not seem like it to you, but that guy's going through the valley of the shadow of death. It's a dangerous place. It's a salt, barren plain down there. But for those sheep to get to the green pastures and beside the still waters, the shepherd has to take them through the valley of the shadow of death. So when we're in the midst of the valleys, God is doing something. He's at work. He's with us. He doesn't just say, here's the map, go figure it out yourself, but he walks with us, his presence with us, protecting us, guiding us, delivering us, and it's a powerful reality that's at play. This is what it says in that verse again. I'll fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You see, most shepherds would have two tools, and this is what David's talking about here. A rod, which would be like a club to beat off the marauding animals that would come against them, and a staff or a shepherd's crook that would be able to pry the sheep out of places that they had fallen into to pull them out, or other things to help loosen them up and get them back on the road. Now, there's two things here that I think this illustrates for us about the dark valleys that we can find ourselves in. The first one is this, that the shepherd needs the rod or the club to beat off those who gather around the sheep. There are sometimes dark valleys we go through in our lives that are beyond our control, because people or circumstances or situations gather around us that are bigger than us. Let me illustrate this for you a couple ways. First is this, as somebody who I was talking to about a job change in their life, it was because their company went through a downsizing and there's a vision change and all these different things. They lost their job. It's not something they can control, but is sort of inflicted on them. Think about those in Syria and Iraq who are racing away from their homes for their lives because there's some wars playing out in those places. It's not something they can control. It's a situation or circumstance from the course of people that is something they have to deal with. What it says in Psalm 23, verse 4 here, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. God's rod, he is a protector around his sheep as they go through these dark valleys that are inflicted upon them. Things like Daniel went through, things that like Ruth went through in the Scripture, that when things are inflicted upon us or people gather around us, God is a protector with his mighty club. It says in another part of Scripture, the Lord is a warrior who fights for us. On the other hand, there are circumstances that arise in dark valleys that we get ourselves into because of our poor choices or sin. Can I talk straight up with you this morning? There's a lot of people I talk with as a pastor who come to me in the midst of dark valleys that they understand and I understand they have inflicted upon themselves because of foolish decisions and decisions to walk outside of God's ways that now they're dealing with the repercussions of. It happens, right? It's happened to me. I'm sure it's happened to everybody in this room. We enter into dark valleys. The cascading effects of our sinful decisions fall upon us and bring us into places we would rather not be in. So too, the sheep take missteps that take them into places they'd rather not be in. And even there, God is a good shepherd with his staff that pulls us out of the mire or out of the pits that we find ourselves pulled into. Like it says in Psalm 40, I waited patiently on the Lord. He inclined and heard my cry. He lifted me up out of the miry pit, out of the miry clay. He gave me a firm place to stand. We need these things in the midst of the valleys of the shadow of death that we walk through, whether they're circumstances or people who have inflicted them on us that we can't control, or whether we have let ourselves get into situations because of foolish choices or sinful choices. Either way, I believe the same thing is necessary in our response. It's this: we need to call out to God. We need to remember that he is with us in the middle of it, and then we need to turn to him in our lives. If we're in circumstances that we cannot control, the reality is we're helpless, and we call out to God. We remember that he's here with us, like Daniel in the lion's den, and we pray, God, would you defend me with your rod, with your club, against the people who are gathering or the circumstances that I cannot control. Psalm 46:1, God is our refuge and in strength, an ever-present help in time of trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea. Even in that place, God is a refuge for us. And then the same thing, if we have gotten ourselves into some terrible circumstances through our foolish decisions, the same thing is we need to remember God is there, we need to turn to him, and then call out to him for help. But let me say one other thing straightforward. If you are in a place of a dark valley because of your poor or sinful decisions, do not expect God to pull you out until you stop putting yourself in that place. God is a deliverer. But if you are just constantly living in that place and saying, God, deliver me from the effects of my sin, but let me keep making my sinful choices, I mean, it's kind of the effect. You're going to just feel that. So turn away from sin. That's what repentance is about. Do a 180, have a change of mind about that sinful area, and ask God to rescue you in the deeper places of your soul. His rod and his staff, they comfort us in the dark valleys because he's leading us through those things. He wants to carry us through those things into the abundant life that's found in him. Okay, let's keep going here. There's a lot in there. Was that the first verse? Okay. Whoopsie. Okay. Verse 5 says this: you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Here's the background, ancient Near East. When there was a victory that was won in battle, what often would happen is this, that as the enemy that had been defeated is there, and the prisoners are there, they're gathered together in the midst of that, then the victor would oftentimes have a feast of victory in the presence of the enemies who'd been conquered. See, what's happening here isn't like God, sort of like these enemies have knives and they're like going to attack you in a moment, and kind of God sets up a little table like you're like tailgating at a Brewers game. That's not what's going on here. What is happening is this: God gives victory over our enemies, and he pours that victory into us in a sense that the enemies have been stopped, and we are enjoying the abundance of God's goodness. You prepare a table before me, a banqueting table. You anoint my head with oil, which is a sign of cleansing and being set apart by God. My cup overflows. All of God's abundance is poured out into our life. See, God doesn't just want to kind of show up and kind of drag us through things. He wants to give victory into our lives in the midst of the challenges that we're facing. Who has enemies in their life? I mean, I have enemies. In the middle of those things, as we turn to God and say, God, would you be my defender? Would you be my helper? Would you be my savior? In the middle of those places, God begins to be at work in ways that we never can, because we cannot win all those battles ourselves. He becomes the one who is our defender, our shield, and our portion, like it says in other parts of Scripture. Psalm 23 knows that evil is present in the world, but it's not to be feared. God gives us a confidence that he is in the middle of this new situation. It gives us a new orientation to thinking about life and the world around us. Let's get into verse 6 just a little bit more here. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let's talk about goodness for just a minute. I was doing officiating a wedding yesterday. I used to be a college pastor and have a bunch of students who still live in the area, and one of them got married. David got married yesterday. And I've said this before, I think, but there's nothing quite like the front row seat you have as the officiating pastor at a wedding. I mean, you get to see everything up close. No offense to the parents and grandparents of the bride and groom. I mean, it's amazing. And David said to me before we were going to walk out, he said, man, it's like I'm so emotional. I feel like I'm gonna start crying. I was like, just go ahead and cry. Just enjoy it. I mean, it's okay. That means you're full of joy. So David walks out, you know, and the wedding party assembles, and he's standing, you know, right here. And then his lovely bride-to-be, Renee, is there, and her dad's walking her down. And I can see from behind him, I can tell, even though I can't see his face, he's bawling. He's just bawling. You know, his skin is getting red in the back, his ears are all red, and his head's kind of shaking. And I can, you know, it's like, man, he really took me seriously when I said, just go ahead and cry, man. He's laying into it. There's so much joy. He was just so overwhelmed by that moment. All the goodness being revealed on this is going to be one of the best days of their life together. Now, what the psalmist is saying in Psalm 23 is that the goodness of God, the infinite goodness, the unstoppable goodness of God is poured out into our lives. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. Oh, that word mercy, chesed in the Hebrew, it's a word that means loving kindness or steadfast love or covenant faithfulness. It means that God will always lovingly fulfill the promises he's made for his people. Every promise of God in the scriptures that he's ever made, he is going to be faithful to them for you and for me, for all of us in this place. That's what Psalm 23 is about, not just in general, but for us individually. God's promises are faithfully upheld by him. All of his goodness, like the best days of your life, like the best moments of your life, and all the mercy and loving kindness of God, faithfully pursuing us. They're in hot pursuit of our lives, like our shadow tied to us when the sun is blazing above us. We just can't seem to shake the goodness and the mercy of God that he wants to pour out into our lives when we choose to be a sheep of a shepherd like that. He is with us in the dark valleys. He wins the victory over our enemies and pours out the abundance of his goodness and his mercy, even in the darkest places of our life where no one wants to go. God is there in all goodness and mercy towards us. That's what's going on here in Psalm 23. It's amazing. There is no ending to the commitment that God has to his people. Now, I don't know if you noticed this in Psalm 23 when you read through it, but it starts with the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, talking about God out here, very personal, but still out here. But when you get to the dark valley, did you notice the change of language towards God? Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil for you. You're with me. You prepare a table. It's this you language. It's like God has become so present and personal in the midst of the dark places. And you know that's what happens. When you open up the darkest places of your life to the living God and he shows up as you, as present, the God who is there, it changes everything. He pursues us with all of his glory, his goodness, his mercy, all the days of our lives. And then it says this, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Another time I was talking with Kip and Anna, they were sharing about some students who had come to their skills training center and had just experienced belonging. Some of them were orphans. They came to this place, and they told the story about one time when a kid came and he was just at their house crying, and Kip just gave him a big hug. And this guy said, I'd never been hugged in my entire life. I'm telling you, what God does is he comes to us intimately, personally, relationally, and gives us a place of belonging in his house as his children. Not just for now. Because, you know, Jesus himself said, I am the good shepherd, and I lay down my life for my sheep. And so Jesus walked the road to the cross. You know what that road was? It was the valley of the shadow of death. As Jesus walked from the Mount of Olives down into the valley and then up into the city of Jerusalem, he was walking through the valley of the shadow of death, knowing what would come. And as he was stretching out his arms on the hardwood of the cross, he was trying to bring all the world within his embrace so that the way of the cross might not just be a way of death, but a way of life. That salvation would break out. That the presence of God would come to all people, Jews and Gentiles alike. And that a new family would be started called by God's name, where we are able to call out by the Spirit of God within us, Abba, Father, which means Daddy, God. See, God is doing something new, and it's just not about right now. But he's taken us through the valley of the shadow of death. He's with us in those places, and it will be true for eternity. So let me suggest three things this morning related to Psalm 23. Maybe this morning you're in a valley. Maybe you've put yourself there, or maybe things have put you there, or people have put you there. What does it look like for you today to simply turn to God, remember that he's there, and say, God, I need you to show up in this place. I need you to show your goodness. I need you to guide me through this into the green pastures and into beside the still waters. Maybe today is a day where you start that for the first time and say, God, I need a shepherd beyond me. Maybe for many of you, it's just the valley you're in and you need God to be there. Some of us, the second thing is this, we're not in a dark valley right now. And I'm just going to tell you, just thank God for that. Don't wish yourself into a dark valley. Enjoy the abundance of God. It's a gift. But return it to him with gratitude for all that he's done in your life. And do this thing with me. Remember all God's goodness, because when a dark valley comes later on, don't doubt in the dark what God has revealed to you in the light. Stay with him, remembering all the goodness that he's poured out in the good times that will help you remember how faithful he can still be and how good he can still be even in the challenging times. And thirdly, I'd just like to suggest this. Don't read Psalm 23 as an inspirational prayer. Read it as a philosophy of life. That when God is present to us like that, everything is different. When we choose to live our lives in light of these kind of truths, a Lord who is a shepherd, a God who reveals himself, a God who guides, a God who provides, a God who protects, a God who delivers, a God who takes us into his household forever, it changes the way we live and think about every single circumstance and relationship in our lives. Take Psalm 23 as your philosophy of life, and I believe that things will actually be different. It's the way that we're called to enter into the good life. Can we pray? Let's do that. Lord, thank you so much that you are our King, our Savior, our Shepherd, and our Guide, and we want to live out of that place. So help us and lead us in that. Be glorified in us. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.